United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
In my journal, I wrote in the preparation stages for going to seminary, I wrote in my journal that I wanted to be in the darkest place, the worst place that we could find in the small city that we were going to for my seminary, which was in northeastern Tennessee. And
did you say the darkest place you could find?
Yeah, right. So
okay, what do you mean?
Like
the darkest place?
Just
so you don't have lights?
Yeah, no. Like so, there are places that you go into and you're just like. You look around and you're like, there's no hope here. There's no opportunities here. There's no life here. I mean, there's people living, there's people doing things, but there just doesn't seem to be any life, any hope. And so I felt like the message of the gospel is one that brings hope into that. That's Jesus saying in Luke 4 why he's there. He's there to set prisoners free, to help the blind see. Like, it's this message of hope, of light. And so so when we went to northeastern Tennessee in the small city we're in, we found a place that was a high rise, used to be a, back in the day, five-star hotel. I mean, luxurious. And over the years, it had kind of gone downhill, and it had been converted to a high-rise HUD-subsidized housing complex.
Like a project.
Yeah, it was single occupancy. To live there, you had to be on disability, and it was mostly 50, age 50 on up, and a lot of disabilities, a lot of mental, a lot of physical disabilities. And what we begin to see, there was a small group of us that started our ministry there, and what we begin to see is that there was just. When you walked into it, it sapped your energy. It took away hope. You didn't see, like, people kind of walked around. The biggest
zombies.
Thing, yeah, like zombies. And as we got to know people there, we began to understand that everybody in that place, whatever their story, had something they could offer. But there was no system. There was nothing set up to be able to handle that. So. Maybe a guy that used to do drywall that hurt his back, that couldn't do it anymore, and really had lost his main way of living, had kind of gotten into the system of to have disability, couldn't do things, and kind of this mentality of, well, I'm useless to society, so I'm going to take my check and I'm going to do what I want to do. I've got my place to live. I've got enough money to get beer and drinks or drugs or whatever it was.
Self-medicate.
Right. And so begin to see that and be really frustrated that there was nothing that we could help plug people into. We tried a little bit through some free meal programs, like a soup kitchen type thing, and some other things. And so kind of took that, and when we came to Cleveland, we knew that we wanted to we didn't want to just, you know, sit back and say everything's okay, status quo, everything running as normal. And at the same time, I was reading a couple of books. There's a book called When Helping Hurts. And by Corbett and Fickert, Steve Corbett and Brian Fickert, and then another book that I read about a year later called Toxic Charity by Robert Lupton, who works in Atlanta, Dr. Robert Lupton, who works in Atlanta and has done some amazing things in Atlanta and wrote this book called Toxic Charity. And that's the book I recommend if anybody wants to kind of learn a little bit about. And so I was reading that book and was getting ideas for what we wanted to do, but also as we begin to engage in ministry in the city, begin to think, like, how can we empower people to not just sit back and say, well, this is all I am, I'm worthless, or maybe not even consciously thinking I'm worthless, but getting that kind of that mentality, maybe subconsciously, that they were worthless, that they couldn't contribute anything to society. Wes Stafford, who was leading Compassion International until very recently, he said the true, like, the true evil of poverty is it removes the ability to dream. And I'm paraphrasing.
And I'll say it this way. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
And I found out the enemy has stolen a lot of people's hope and their dream.
Yeah.
And I say this not just for impoverished people, but people in America.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Americans right now, they've lost the American dream. And Satan has come in and stolen the dream. The enemy has stolen the dream. So people are apathetic to everything that goes on in America, whether they have means or not,
mm-hmm.
because we have robbed them from the hope and the dream of what our forefathers had put inside and undergirded us with. And I think that's because we've taken God out of society.
Mm.
Because with him, he is the hope of life.
Yeah, right.
And because of that, I look at from and on every pay scale, and we look at each other as though I'm better than you because I have better means. But if I don't have hope in my eyes and a goal and a dream to achieve, then what do I really have?
Right. Yeah.
Or am I just waking up, going to work, and doing it again?
Right. Right. There's no motivation beyond what you get for yourself. Or,
right.
Yeah.
So how do I survive?
Right. I mean, so as we look around, I think just because of my own story, my own history,
right.
I think that Jesus offers that.
He does.
And
but we took him out. We told God, get out.
Right, we did. You're right.
We don't need you no more. Get out.
Right. And
take you and your hope.
Right, right, yeah.
But, you know, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, but how do you love other people when you don't love yourself? And how do you come to realize you don't love yourself?
You don't. That's where the church comes in, and that's what I'm going to ask him about clergy. Because if you look at clergy now, clergy don't have hope either. And I said that really, really bad. My mom would be upset. But clergy, I mean, if you look at the clerical and the clergy and the people who say that they're called men and women of God to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, you see where the hope and glimmer in their eyes because of compromise.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, you know, I found out that ministry is a gift of God, a responsibility given, and it is a weight of some sort. It is a responsibility of giving, of sacrifice. It is a responsibility of life of sacrifice. Would you say?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I would say... Well, even in the passage that you spoke of earlier, when you're talking about the Bible saying that if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yes.
That's Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica.
Yes.
And he's writing, and he says, listen, he said, I wasn't a burden to you guys. I've worked my butt off day
Absolutely.
And night, giving, you know, and I could have come in and I could have asked for these things, but I never stopped working. Paul's got
Diane.
A vision for what the world's going to look like.
Absolutely.
And he's going after it, and he's going after it in a very energetic and very compelling way. If you look through all his letters, he's very, very much a go-getter, I guess.
And so when I look at the clergy today, and when I look about gifting and giving and hope and love, if we don't, the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Bible says, thy kingdom come. And the kingdom of God, that we should be having, we are the hope and the light of the world because we are the body of the living God.
Yeah, right.
And how can you say that you are the body of the living God and have no hope and life in you, yet you want to preach hope and life to me?
Yeah, right, right. That's a great point. And I think one of the biggest things that leaders of the church, not just clergy, but any leader in the church is they model that. They then model that they live believing this hope. Like it doesn't. It's not a hope that I just talk about, but it's something I do. It
you
forces
gotta walk
me,
it.
Yeah, you walk it. It forces me. If I believe this, it forces me to live it out.
Absolutely.
And to live it out in the face of look at Paul. We'll go back to Paul in the New Testament. The man's being beaten. He's being shipwrecked. He's been imprisoned.
Caused riots.
And yeah, and still, like when he goes to prison, what does he do? He sings. He sings the hope. Like he's, Like, he's living that out.
But that's because the hope of God is in him. Because, remember, it's not because of us that we have hope. It's because of, or because, it's not because of us that we have hope. It's because of the God in us that we have hope.
Right, yeah.
Because he brings, I mean, if you look at yourself, is it really you? I mean, really, honestly,
right.
What your reaction, your hope, your light, is it truly you?
Right, it's the Spirit working in me. So it's God working in
God working
in, us, in the body, yeah.
So the Bible actually manifesting itself in us,
right.
So that we can become one with him, so that we can do the work of God.
Yeah.
So how is it that we have so many churches on so many corners with no hope and no life in the world?
Right, right. And
especially in our country.
No, you're right. You're very, I mean, I think that I think part of it is, this is about a 15-hour discussion.
We got time. We got 3 hours, and I'm gonna leave you in a minute, and Sticks is gonna be on his own.
Right.
I got Sticks is home alone.
Right.
He's home alone. I'm just a figment of your imagination.
We're getting ready to go to break
I think it's
we'll pick this up after the break
yeah,
here.
Yeah, good.
$2,000 suit across your back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Here are some results of the Mahoning County Board of Elections. County Commissioner John McNally will be Youngstown's next mayor. McNally defeated DeMaine Kitchen with 55% of the votes to Kitchen's 43%. For the second time this year, Youngstown voters rejected a charter amendment to ban fracking in the city. And most school districts in Mahoning, Trumbull, and Columbiana counties lost their battle for additional mills. Canfield Schools was the sole victor. The levy passed there will generate more than $3 million a year. It'll cost the owner of a $100,000 home about $200 a year. The money will be used to restore busing within the district, update safety and security in all schools, and more. 5 young people from Youngstown were arrested for an armed robbery in Boardman. They range in ages from 14 to 20. Police say the group was walking along Prestwick and Hudson on Saturday, and they held up a 17-year-old at gunpoint. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The Cumulus Health Club and the Blackburn Home present today's health tip.
The sense of balance typically gets worse with age. It can be further compromised by medical conditions and medications or a lack of flexibility. For the elderly, poor balance can lead to falls, which are the leading cause of hip fractures. But the good news for people with poor balance is that regular walking can improve balance and prevent falls. Walking helps build lower body strength, an important element of good balance. In a good walking plan, the minutes count, not the miles. As you feel stronger and more comfortable, gradually add more minutes to your walks.
Today's health tip has been brought to you by the Blackburn Home, a nonprofit senior care home nestled on 3 beautiful acres in the heart of Poland Village. Unique in its small size, low price, and long-standing reputation, the Blackburn Home strives to maintain the wishes of its founder, to provide loving care to those in the twilight of their life. Visit our website at blackburnhome.org. That's blackburnhome.org.
The Cumulus Health Club and Dr. Wahib present today's health tip.
Being pregnant is an exciting and nervous time, but it's also a great opportunity to get the best medical care for you and your developing baby. Here are some important things you need to consider in choosing an OBGYN that's right for you. Any OBGYN that you see should be board certified. You should also ask about their level of experience in case your pregnancy becomes high risk. Another factor in choosing the right doctor is whether or not the person you're considering has hospital rights in the hospital where you're choosing to give birth. Also important is whether the doctor keeps weekend and evening hours in case of an emergency. Take your time and do your research. Finding the right OBGYN for you during your pregnancy will ease your mind and help toward delivering a healthy baby.
Today's health tip has been brought to you by Dr. Samir Wahib, recognized for providing outstanding medical and surgical care and specializing in women's health. Call 330-779-3901.
Join me, Randall Craig Fleischer, and the YSO Saturday, November 9th at 8 p.m. at Powers Auditorium. A concert of diva showstoppers from Broadway and popular music includes selections from the hit musical Wicked with two of the show's stars. Call the box office at 330-744-0264 or go online at YoungstownSymphony.com. Come catch the high-flying hijinks at Wicked Demons Saturday, November 9th.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 4.25%, APR 4.5%, that payment could support a $275,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $50,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And you can be confident that Quicken Loans will do everything possible to ensure that you have an amazing mortgage experience. In fact, we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The Cumulus Health Club and Gillette Nursing Home in Warren present today's health tip.
Finding a good nursing home takes good research. Every year, health inspection data, staffing, and quality measures are collected on more than 15,000 nursing homes. This data is combined to come up with an overall ranking of 1 to 5 stars. To find the information you need about nursing homes in our area, go to Medicare.gov and click on the Nursing Home Compare tool. Then, print out the nursing home checklist and visit the homes that you're considering. And make sure to ask if they engage in person-centered care and consistent assignment. Person-centered care allows residents to set their own schedules. Consistent assignment means that the same staff members treat the same patients on each shift. This helps reduce mistakes and helps staff members to develop lasting relationships with their residents.
Today's health tip has been brought to you by Gillette Nursing Home in Warren. Our love is homespun. Visit us online at gillettenursing-home.com. Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
1-800-530-WSO.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
When you need answers, you don't go to the store. You got your tarot cards and Ouija board. You put your faith in Scientology. If fortune tellers and astrology, you hate your neighbors and you cheat on your wife. You say you make it.
Good afternoon, it's Tracy and friends. WSOM 600 AM sticks here talking to you. Tracy's going to be here for a few more minutes. She's going to take off, and she's got some other business she has to attend to. If you want to talk to us, our number is 347-945-5229. And locally here, it's 330-781-9600. But we can deal with you better if you call in on our internet line. We're unlimited internet lines. If you call in locally, we got to talk to you and hang up because we've only got one of those. Today in studio, we have Mark Pratt from Toward the City Ministries in Cleveland, Ohio. And he's come here to talk to us about the good things they're doing up there and a little bit about his life story. And so we've been having a good conversation. How you doing, Mark?
Good. Very good. Nice day.
Yes, it is. So when we left, you talked about how these two books, and Helping Without Hurting, and what was the other one?
The first book was When Helping Hurts.
When Helping Hurts.
And the other is Toxic Charity. Robert Lupton wrote the Toxic Charity books. I highly recommend it. It's really a great introduction to what we're talking about today and thinking about today.
So these books changed the way that you started thinking about charity. What ways did they change?
Well,
start to change?
They were part of that. Yeah, definitely. They were part of changing the way we thought about it. And also there's an organization called CCDA, which is Christian Community. And so So we did that, and of the three families, only one family was interested in that, and it was a great experience. It worked out great. The mother actually made the money go a lot further than she would than what we would have just bought her, and got a lot of gifts and a lot of educational gifts, a lot of books for her kids. And we thought that was a neat experience. The other two families just didn't want to do that. So we got those gifts, and when we brought them to them, I remember we delivered the gifts to one family, and I could just tell the father was extremely embarrassed. He was out of work. He had been out of work for a month. He'd been laid off. He was doing some kind of contracting work, getting houses prepped for sale through a foreclosure market, like the banks would foreclose. Mm-hmm. He would go in and prep the house for resale, and he'd lost his job. Just no fault of his own. So he was kind of down on his luck. And his wife was still working, but they just didn't have the money to buy gifts. And so they were taking they went the only route they knew, which was through this organization. And I could just tell when we delivered the toys, he was...
outdone.
He was... Yeah. He was very polite, great guy. We talked for probably an hour, but he was embarrassed. And we really just... We tried to minimize that. We didn't want his kids seeing us bringing the gift. Like, so it was very but it got us thinking, like, so what are we doing when we bring these outside people bringing these gifts into this family? One, the father doesn't feel like he can provide for his family, and he's being mm-hmm. reminded of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
The mother was, she wasn't, like, interacting with us a lot, but I could tell she didn't like people being in her house that she didn't know and felt very uncomfortable. And it was just this awkward... like, you're giving us stuff, we want to thank you, but we're embarrassed. And so it got me thinking, especially as I was reading that book, the Toxic Charity book, at the same time, what can we do different? And so we decided to go with the same organization the next year, but we wanted to empower families more. But we didn't know how, so I asked the organization if we could take, because they had a hard time at the end of towards closer to Christmas, they had a lot more families come into their organization that they couldn't get given to people. And so I said, well, we'll take all the big families mm-hmm. that you guys get, like 9-plus kids.
Wow.
Because they're harder to get people, they're harder to adopt from families. And so I said, we'll take all those, but we're going to do it a little different. We have a store that we're going to open up. We're going to stock it just like a regular store. We're going to have coffee, donuts. We have musicians come in and play, kind of create a festive area. I ran it exactly how I would if I wanted to run a store that would be successful, with the intent of giving families a shopping experience where they could come in and they could shop as close to possible, as close to the real thing as possible. So the families came in, we would give them a gift certificate based upon the family size to shop in the store. And we had, you know, brand new gifts, bikes, sport, I mean, a lot of stuff. We tried to keep it low on electronics. We wanted more interactive things like mm-hmm. sports toys, bikes.
Rector sets.
We wanted more interactive stuff okay. versus the electronics. Those are out everywhere. So we did that, and we'd be open 2 days a week, a Wednesday and a Saturday, and we'd have volunteers staff the store, and families could come in. They would be given a gift certificate, and they could shop. And they could come and shop anytime the store was open. It was just like a regular store. Anytime we had store hours, they could be in there shopping. And the families would come in, and they would shop. They would get coffee, and we would talk. And it was just like a real store experience. And they loved it. And what was really cool is we got to begin talking to these families and meeting with them and hearing their stories. And believe it or not, a lot of these, 80% of the families that came through last year, they had jobs. They worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they worked in low-paying jobs. And they're
can't make ends meet.
I mean, that many
right.
kids, it's
yeah.
hard. I have three boys, and we're stretched.
You got a choice between groceries and Christmas presents. I'm sorry, Christmas presents.
Right, that takes second
seat. But
yeah.
it's still kind of hard
right.
not
hard.
To be able to participate
right.
in the Christmas experience. So when you yeah. go back to school and say, "Well, what did you get?" Well, I got a pair of socks. You know,
yeah.
that's kind of
yeah.
tough.
Yeah. So we did that, and they could come in, and we give them the gift certificate, and they could shop. And we also, this is something we just did. We said, and if you want to donate back, so if you want to give. Say if you've shopped and you still maybe have $100 left on your gift certificate, if you want to give that back to maybe a family that maybe wouldn't be able to participate in this store but just because we were limited in how much we could put in the store, then that would be great. And so we had six or seven families that had money left on their gift certificate that they donated back to the store. And what we found was The stories were.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
The stories were pretty powerful stories, ranging from medical bills that were really draining resources from families to jobs that you couldn't get a job that would make ends meet. But we still felt like there was a piece missing, because they were still being given something, a gift certificate.
Right. Unlisted caller, your mic's on.
Oh, it's Beasley. I was listening thus far. I just caught the Christmas story.
Okay.
I'm never shy to chime in.
Okay.
Okay.
And so we felt like there was a piece missing, and we decided that we were going to change it up again even more this year, and so we decided that we would, this coming year, that we would make the store bigger. We would get a bigger space. We would have less shopping days, so we could, you know, more people could come on a single day in a bigger space, and we would actually charge real money for the gifts. Now, at a fraction of the cost of retail.
Okay.
So that families that didn't want to have to take pure charity could do that. And what that does is it empowers families. It gets them saying they have worth then. They're shopping for real. And even families that, and then another piece of that is even families that can't afford that. What I began seeing last year was everybody has a skill. Everybody has something they can do. How can we tap into that? How can we create a system or something that people can, maybe they are somebody that's doing drywall that has been hurt and can't do that. They could teach me how to drywall, or they could teach somebody else how to drywall.
Yep. They can help me build my store wall.
Right. Yep. They've got skills. And so figure out a way to tap for them to be able to use their skills to earn or to get gifts for their families.
Hey, Diva, your mic's on. Turn Diva out.
And so
I'm just listening.
Okay.
Hey, Diva.
So we began to think about that, and we began to talk about what that looks like for this year. And so that's when
will your store start?
So our first shopping day for our store is December 7th.
Okay.
We'll do two shopping days.
Two shopping days a month? A week?
Two shopping days this year, so the 7th and the 14th.
Okay.
They're both Saturdays. And we're not the only ones doing this. There's other people doing this in other places. So there's the Affordable Christmas Store in Canton. They're doing the same thing. And pick their brains a lot about how they do it and what they do.
What's the name of your store?
Just the Christmas Store. I mean, we just started calling it the Christmas Store, and that's what it became.
But listen, I got to take a break, and I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. When I leave, I'm not coming back. So you're stuck with Sticks. So I want all y'all to be nice. But, you know, break him in gently. Mark, God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tracy.
Sticks, you're on your own. So the number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The meeting is about to begin, so let us bow our heads in prayer. Wait a minute. Is that legal? That's what the U.S. Supreme Court will decide. The justices are hearing a case today involving the town of Greece, New York, where municipal meetings often begin with a prayer. Reverend Patrick Medeiros with Greece Assembly of God says the right to free speech allows it.
It's my prayer that the justices will uphold my constitutional right and the ministers in our community's constitutional right to continue this great tradition to pray during these meetings.
But opponents say those prayers violate the separation of church and state. About a month ago, the Fed shut down a website known as Silk Road. It was an online black market for drugs. Well, now it's back.
Marijuana, ecstasy, and cocaine are already for sale on Silk Road 2.0, the new version of the underground website launched the same day the original site's founder appears in court. Garth Bruin at Digital Citizens Alliance says the new operators appear undeterred by the criminal case.
There's too much money at stake. The previous owner, who's now indicted, made $80 million.
It will be a few days before Silk Road 2.0 is fully functional, but it's already luring buyers and sellers with its promise of secure, anonymous purchases of drugs and other contraband. Law enforcement is already on it. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
It's called the Affordable Care Act, but for some it means more expensive health insurance, and they aren't happy about it.
The White House boasts a lot about those subsidies for the poor, but stories are abounding on the number of people appalled at the sticker shock they're facing. Republicans point to a loyal Democratic couple in California, stunned that their solid policy has been dumped. They face double the premium cost for less coverage. Anne Compton, ABC News, the White House.
It's probably been a while since you bought a DVD or rented one for that matter. Blockbuster is now closing the rest of its stores. There were only 300 of them left. The Dow is up 97 points. This is ABC News.
Ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Mounds and mounds of fur.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Chew himself raw.
Sticky, gooey, smelly.
She scratched incessantly.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
I heard about Dynavite on this radio station.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I called my wife. I said, dear, you got to check out Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil,
the seaweed, the kelp,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
6 days later, my dog's ear problems were cured.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
His gas was better.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
She has gotten this puppy look. Her coat has sheen.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
My vet was completely blown away.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
There's more pressure on the mayor of Toronto to resign. Rob Ford's admitted to smoking crack, but says he won't step down and plans to seek re-election next year.
Toronto Mayor Rob Ford has been caught on video drunk, seen scrumming with reporters on his driveway. And to his supporters, it just boosted his credibility as a guy from a neighborhood far away from downtown's elite.
I've called you pathological liars. And you are, so why don't you take me to court?
But this could complicate things.
Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine. Probably in one of my drunken stupors, probably approximately about a year ago.
Still, last week when police said they had video of Ford smoking crack, his poll numbers went up 5 points.
Hey, thank you.
Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Americans who passed part but not all of the GED test are rushing to finish it before a new version rolls out in January. About a million Americans who took the high school equivalency exam could be affected. Their scores could be wiped out if they don't finish. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hi, I'm David Hall, president of Shore Mortgage.
And your neighbor accidentally drives his car into your living room. Luckily, your neighbor has minimum liability insurance from Safe Auto, which means for not a lot of money, he can protect himself from his own mistakes. So call Safe Auto right now for some protection of your own. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Find the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio at your local Ford dealer, where you can get the fuel-efficient and fun-to-drive Focus with no charge, sync, and sound. Lease one for just $179 a month. Visit drive1ohio.com for details.
Attention seniors and baby boomers. A new website has been created just for you. SocialSecurityFree.com. At SocialSecurityFree.com, we reveal a weird trick that could help you add $152,000 to your Social Security payouts. For example, did you know how you file for Social Security can dramatically change the amount of money you collect? One simple step could add up to $1,000 to your monthly payouts. And other loopholes we found reveal 33 ways for big savings on your health care. At SocialSecurityFree.com, you will also discover how you could save up to 50% on your groceries, along with 49 other ways to save as much as $50,000 starting today. Newsmax says SocialSecurityFree.com is a critical resource for anyone over the age of 50. So go to SocialSecurityFree.com now to find out how you could add extra money to your Social Security checks. That's SocialSecurityFree.com.
A gout attack may prevent you from participating in everyday events that are your greatest joys. The most common form of inflammatory arthritis in men, gout affects millions of Americans. Gout attacks, which some have described as feeling like a severe burn, may occur when uric acid levels build up. Without ongoing management, gout may prevent you from enjoying life's simple pleasures. Learn more about managing this chronic illness at www.goutliving.org. This message brought to you by...
I'm believing the good of all mankind.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen pew where sat Sister Bertha Better Than You, who'd been watching all the commotion with sadistic glee. Should have seen that look in her eyes. That squirrel jumped her garters and crossed her thighs. She jumped to her feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." But that squirrel did laugh inside her dress. She began to cry. Then to confess the sin to make a sailor blush to shame. She told the doctors in church dissension, but the thing that got the most attention was she talked about her love life. And then she started naming names the day the squirrel went berserk. Down of Pascagoula, it's what they fight for survival. That broke out in revival. They were something and
sticks. This is Sticks sitting in for Tracy this afternoon on Tracy and Friends. Our number is 347-945-5229, and we just want to hear from you. We're talking to Mark Pratt from Toward the City Ministries. Matt, your mic's on, and Diva, your mic's on if you want to talk to Pastor Matt. So when we left, we were talking about the Christmas store, Matt, and how you've tried to change the way we look at charity. You want to go on, continue with that, please?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not the only ones that are doing this, but it's something that's kind of hit us when we were thinking about what we do as far as ministry in the city and shifting from a model that disempowers people to a model that empowers people, that shows them that there's worth, you have worth. And really begins to move a culture away from I guess from entitlement or and I know that's charred.
That's a bad connotation. That term has a bad connotation.
But from this sense of there's no power, there's nothing that I can do to change my circumstances, to one of you have value and you can you can do things. So what we do is move it to something that empowers people.
So let's go back to talking about this Our Share program you were telling me about. How does that work?
As far as, so if somebody has a skill that they can contribute, they can give back to something to earn credit for the Christmas store. So there's a number of things happening in Cleveland right now. One's called the Cleveland Time Bank. And it's just a group of people that have gotten together. It was started by a community development corporation in Cleveland, the Clark Fulton Stockyard Community Development Corporation. That's called the Cleveland Time Bank, where there's people from all walks of life, all different types of jobs, all different types of backgrounds that are a part of this, where I can give services. Whether it be tutoring, teaching people to speak Spanish, whatever the different skills each person has, and that service or that time volunteered goes into what's called the time bank. And so, if I have X credits in the time bank, I could get a service from somebody else in the time bank for those credits. So it's a timeshare program, and so. I learned about that last year, and I started thinking, well, what if we did that with the Christmas store? If we had people who had skills that maybe had fallen on hard times, if you look at a recent article in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, it was on the it was on an online, the Cleveland Online that had said that the Northern Ohio region, the Cleveland, Cuyahoga region, had experienced the highest number of job losses over the last 4 months in the United States.
Okay.
So if you look at that and say, well, there's a lot of people during the Christmas season who at one point they were doing something. They had
right.
a job, and
right.
they've lost that job. They've still got those skills. They've still got those whatever that skill was. They just don't have a way to use it right now. So what if we thought creatively? It's not easy. It's not economical. It's kind of inefficient. But what if we thought creatively? How do we plug those people into things so that they can provide Christmas gifts for their families? And so it's kind of a case-by-case basis. If somebody says, hey, we don't have the money to shop in your store, but my husband does this or I do this, then we can figure out creatively how we can plug those people in. Now, it may be just volunteering at the Christmas store. That may be
mm-hmm.
an option to, you know, help gift wrap
okay.
on one of the shopping days. Or it could be the Christmas store is in an old church that is now run as like a ministry center. So there may be something they can do on the campus of the ministry center at some point in time. It could be, it could be just knowing of different things around the city that need done, that need volunteers to help, that they can fill in there and help in there. So there's ways that they can give of their time for credit in the store, in the Christmas store. And also try to plug them into like the Cleveland Time Bank or other things like that where they can give of their time and earn services for other things.
Now, are you tied into the larger? Because when you came to my church and you talked about this, I went and looked on the internet at the Time Back thing for the greater Cleveland area.
Mm-hmm.
Are you tied into that entire system at all?
So I have for the store. We haven't figured out how that works yet. So those hopefully things that'll be hammered out in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
Personally, I do. I have. My services, I've got very limited. So I can teach people to read Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, some Aramaic, and I tutor reading and things like that. So I can do those things
right.
As part of that time bank system. And, there's a guy that teaches that's a cabinet maker. And so one of his skills that he offers in the time bank is teaching people to make cabinets.
Oh, wow.
And as soon as I get the time banked up, I think I'm going to probably use that to learn that because it's something beyond even just needing, but if I'm interested in learning how, because I don't know how to type, I'm a hunt and peck kind of typer.
Yeah, me too.
And so maybe I can learn the skills of typing because that's offered in the time bank. And so it's this skills trade. It's a great idea. I think it started the shape that it's taken in Cleveland has kind of been crafted from something that's happened around Kent and some other places in Ohio. So it's really a neat idea and a good way, I think, to help people who have skills that maybe don't have a job.
Yeah, well, it helps a man, especially a man with a family, to maintain his dignity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that just handing out stuff robs people of. It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, when you came and spoke at our church, I really like the concept of I call it Christian capitalism.
Mm.
Is what I call it. But so now, how long have you been up there?
So we're almost at 3 years now that we've been in Cleveland, and so just thinking creatively how can we do ministry better in the city? How can we do things with people instead of for people? So we did for the summer. And I know this is kind of a little bit off of the topic of the Christmas store, but something else that kind of falls along those lines is as we're thinking about urban ministry, as we're thinking about the things that we see so I heard several years ago, I heard a conference speaker say that the state of Florida, and I didn't fact check, so I don't know if this is completely true, but there's some stats that I've seen since then that help show me this picture. But he said that the state of Florida estimates the number of prison beds that they'll need in the future by the fourth grade.
I've heard that. It's not just the state of Florida; it's all over the country. I've heard.
Yeah. So. Future prison beds are estimated by literacy rates in the fourth grade. And so as we looked around, and I just started doing research on stats in Cleveland and saw, hey, high school dropouts are really high.
Mm-hmm.
Literacy rates are low. So
right.
Illiteracy rates are pretty high.
Right.
And it's the same picture all across the city, as you see all across the nation. Jails overcrowded. Criminal justice system that's pretty maxed, overmaxed.
Right.
So you see all these, and it all is kind of linked to literacy. Can you read or not?
Right.
Which all the stats that I saw kind of bear this up. And so we said, well, what can we do as just people living in this neighborhood to help change that? So we began saying, well, some of the studies we've read say that the reason why kids aren't learning to read is, one, they don't own books. For whatever reason, the ownership of books kind of creates an environment for reading. They don't own books. Their families don't read together. They don't value reading as a family. And kids just don't realize how good reading can be. Like, they just don't understand that. And increasingly, there's more and more things to distract them from reading. And so we said, well, what can we do? And so we, last year, we began just handing out books. It was kind of we just got a bunch of books together and started handing them out to kids so that they would actually have book ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year we said, well, let's work on the second piece where families aren't reading and kids, and the third piece, which is kids don't understand how fun reading can be.
Right.
So we leased a lot from the city. That it's a city land bank lot that we leased for very cheap to do this literacy program where we, every Sunday night, we'd cook out, we'd hand out books. We had, I mean, when you asked for donations of books.
But if I remember right, you started out as squatters, right?
Yeah, right. The year before that, we just set up on a vacant lot. And started to hand out books and popsicles, and because you have to hand out the popsicles so kids will actually take the books because they don't really
yeah.
want them. Once they start taking them, they really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And but halfway through, I guess somebody bought that lot and they started doing construction a lot, so we lost our lot that we were squatting on. And I'm like, well, we're going to do it way better this year, but I'm going to make sure that we have that lot through the summer. And the city land bank was great about that. They thought the idea was good, so we leased it and we started cooking out every Sunday night. We got a grill out on the lot. We'd throw hot dogs. We'd invite neighbors to bring things.
Because mm-hmm.
This wasn't a feeding program for the neighborhood. It was a cookout with the neighborhood. And so we wanted
just a big neighborhood potluck.
Yeah, a big neighborhood potluck. Now, took a couple weeks to get that going, and
yeah.
Some weeks were better than other weeks. But during the process, we handed out books. And then this lot was, you know, had been dumped on for a couple of years, and we cleaned it up. And one of the things that somebody had dropped on this lot was this massive oak tree stump. I don't know where they got this tree stump, but we carved it into a stage, and through the summer I would tell stories to help engage kids in just this idea of what a story is.
Okay.
And stories I grew up listening to. I grew up in the Appalachian Mountains, the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, so we have something called Jack Tales, which Jack and the Beanstalk is one of the Jack Tales.
Okay.
But there's hundreds of those stories that I grew up listening to where Jack is always outwitting, outsmarting people. And so told those. I also told some stories from the Old Testament, some of the stories that just kids typically love, like David mm-hmm. and Goliath. And
I heard an interesting thing about David and Goliath the other day.
What was that?
Well, you know, David, of course, was at a disadvantage because of his size.
Yeah.
But a guy just did wrote a book about David and Goliath, and he had a Israeli ballistics expert do the calculations, and that stone was actually traveling at the velocity of a .45 caliber handgun.
Oh, I believe it. If you look at those, yeah, I definitely believe that. If you look at the, if you go on YouTube, you can Google that, or you can
mm-hmm.
YouTube that, and you can see, because there's competitions,
right,
where people use the same kind of sling system that they would have used then for target practice, and those things are zings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they zing them. And so I told those stories. I told, you know, other stories. I told, you know, Jonah and some of the other, just the stories that kids really like, and would say, hey, if you like these stories, and the kids loved them. I was surprised
mm-hmm.
at how much they loved the stories. And so I said, hey, if you kids like really like these stories, these are the same stories you find in a book, only you can make the imagery. Like, you can do way better than I can do just telling it to you, because you can do it with your brain if you're reading these stories. And so trying to teach kids, like, stories are cool. The books are really neat, and to kind of raise that interest. and also giving them and having the families there with us while we told the stories and saying you can foster this in your own home by just reading.
Yeah, that see that I have rental properties and that always bothers me when I go into a home to fix something and there's no books in the house. There's no magazines in the house. I mean, kids need to be around books.
Yeah. And that's and I mean, so literally there's hundreds of books in our neighborhood now in homes and places that families can see and begin to read. And we never had a problem, like people just donated books, hundreds of books. So we never had a problem getting books, and we were able to do that. And it was really fun. You get to know your neighbors, and you get to hang out and talk and have fun. So it was a good experience, but that's one, you know, that's some of the things that we're trying to do. And these aren't things that are...
We're going to break.
Okay, yeah.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy.
Really
if you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Our houses are protected by the good Lord and a gun. And you might meet them both if you show up here, not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Sticks sitting in for Tracy here at Tracy and Friends, WSOM 600 AM. If you want to join the conversation, it's 347-945-5229. And this afternoon we have Mark Pratt from Toward the City Ministries up in the big city of Cleveland, and he's come down here to talk to us and tell us some of the good things that's going up there. So how you doing, Mark?
Good, good. Very good. So,
Let's go ahead and continue with what we were talking about. You know, we were talking about the you guys being squatters in a city lot, and then now you got a permanent place where you're legal.
Yeah. So we leased that lot and did that. We gave out books all summer and really had a good time doing that. But the hope is that that there's at least a love of reading for some kids being fostered, and you know when a kid can read at a I think it's a fourth grade level.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in the fourth grade, all the numbers for them jump. So
right.
The potential that they'll graduate high school jumps way up. The potential that they'll break out of the cycle of poverty that
mm-hmm.
often can get often becomes generational, multi-generational, and become trapped in. So all those numbers stop. Now that's just a small piece of it.
Right.
So that's a small piece. The idea of empowering people is a small piece. There's a ton of different small pieces. And if we're all like actively engaged in doing that in small ways, we're not reaching the entire city of Cleveland with this. We're just reaching one small neighborhood with what we're doing. And if we begin to do that enough,
how do you eat an elephant?
Then you shift, yeah, right, a piece at a time, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And that's the whole key. And it's not super efficient. It's not instant results, which we're used to in our culture.
Yeah.
And more and more.
Right.
It's something that takes time and patience and dedication and commitment. And I guess that's the one thing we have. I'm not a smart person. I'm not a super high-tech person, but I'm committed to this. And so that's what we have, and that's what we give. So it's things like that, the little pieces that begin to stack and build and can change whole cities, whole states, whole countries.
Right. Right, one neighborhood at a time is the way we have to solve this problem.
Yeah, and ultimately it comes down to relationships. We're building relationships with people, and you're beginning to know people, and you're beginning to talk to people, and it's less of a number and less of a and more of a person that you're hanging out with.
Yeah, Diva, your mic's on. Matt, your mic's on. You want to chime in anytime?
Hey, Sticks, this is Matt.
Yeah.
How you guys doing? How you doing, Mark?
Hey, good, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm good. I can really appreciate what you're doing simply because I think this is like an old school traditional American value. The way America was built was dealing with charity. That's what before, you know, we had any type of welfare or any type of government assistance for people. Charity is what kept the poor or the people that were out of work, freshly out of work, or had medical issues or anything like that. Charities and churches is where they got their help. So I can totally appreciate what you're doing and trying to roll back the clock a little bit. And I'm one of those people who say that there's a place for a little bit of government assistance, but you're right. I was on government assistance at one time when I was young, when I first had my kids. You know, I had run out of my job was failing. We weren't expecting to have kids at that moment. So, you know, we ran into about a 3-4 month period where we needed some government assistance. And it really was stressing on me because I wasn't that guy. So I can really appreciate what you're doing. Now, let me ask you a quick question. In your travels and getting this all prepared and the people that you talk to, what would you say is the percentage of people that come to you with the problems you were talking about before, saying that they needed help, but they didn't want to they had too much of a, you know, their self-esteem wouldn't allow that to happen. They didn't want to know that people knew that they needed help. What's the ratio between those people and people who just will go on some type of government assistance?
Right. So we, specifically with the Christmas store, is probably a, it was probably a lower number just because of what we were doing is a little different. And so I guess the percentage of people coming in, I really don't, you know, I've never sat down and tried to figure out the numbers of that. So I couldn't say. What I do know is the longer that someone is in assistance, the less likely they are to feel that they need to do something to get out of that assistance. The book that I'm talking about, The Toxic Charity with Robert Lupton, he talks about that in that the way the mentality of someone receiving assistance shifts over time from one of, yeah, maybe this is a place where we are, that it's been a hard go of it, I lost my job, and it's almost we're in an emergency kind of mentality, so we need this assistance right away. The longer that they're in that, the less likely that they'll feel the need to come out of that. So if you think about a natural disaster like a tornado that tears a town up, immediately there's this emergency mindset of we have to get resources to that town to help them. And I think that's a really, really good impulse because mm-hmm. it's needed. It's an emergency environment. They need those help. They need a period of time when people are pulling together and sending them money and resources and things so they can rebuild and get their lives back on track. Now, if this same town was still calling for those resources 5 or 6 years down the road, there would be something wrong with that.
Right.
Because there's no progress being made. Think about... And I know this may step on some people's toes, but think about different countries that receive aid for decades,
mm-hmm.
and there's never any improvement, but we still keep sending aid in the form of just money or whatever to those countries, but there's never any improvement, and there's never any thought of, like, how can we make this better so that it actually does change?
Right.
And that's kind of what we're trying to think about. Is like, so there is this need.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good impulse to want to give. That's a really good impulse. So, but if we keep doing it and it's not changing anything, it's not working, then what do we do? How do we think about what we're doing in a way that becomes productive, that
right.
things do change, that people are helped and they are able to move out of the situation that they're in that required that in the first place?
Yeah, I've always said that as Christians, we need to not only teach people how to fish and want to teach people how to fish, but maybe show them where the worms are buried and give them their first fishing rod.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's definitely it. And actually help resource, like,
yeah.
help them so that they can do that.
Right, it doesn't do a darn bit of good to teach somebody how to fish if they don't own a fishing rod.
Right. And also, how do we do this in a way that... So this is something that's not going to happen in a year.
No.
This is something that we have to think about taking a decade or two,
mm-hmm.
Because it's something that has taken a decade or two to
get. Well, yeah, this destruction hasn't happened overnight, this tearing down of self-esteem of the average American, which is what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
Because it started with the extremely poor, and it's moving up through the middle class now.
Mm. Yeah. Did that answer your question, Matt? I'm sorry if I talked around it.
No, it did. It did. But I would like to bring something up as well, if I can, Sticks.
Go right ahead.
What you're talking about, and this is one of my favorite stories. I've shared it on the show before, but I want to share it again because it's fantastic and it's phenomenal how well it works. In the late 1800s, Texas farmers experienced one of the worst droughts the country had ever seen. And you're talking about there was a lot of cattle farming back then, a lot of agriculture, and that's where most of it was coming from to support the country. Well, this huge drought hits. Congress passed immediate appropriations to go through the whole of Congress and be signed by the president. And it got to the president, and the president put his foot down. He said, no, I am not signing this bill. The president at the time was Grover Cleveland. He was a Democrat. And he decided that he was going to call upon the American people through charity instead of signing this bill of emergency appropriations. Well, it turns out that within 3 or 4 months after that occurred, more than 10 times the amount of the bill would have raised through that congressional appropriations, more than 10 times the amount through charities was raised for these Texas farmers. And according to the way the stories looked and the numbers looked, we avoided our first Great Depression because of that. I just think it's a great story about charity.
Yeah.
I think it's a great story about what this country used to be. And I think it's something like what you're trying to do, Mark. I think it's something we need to start getting back to.
Right. Well, yeah, we can pull together as people and help each other out. I mean, that's the basic, is just loving our neighbors and helping them. And this, I think at the very bottom of what I'm talking about, of what people way smarter than me are talking about, is how do we do that? Like, how do we really engage and help our neighbors in a way that's productive and helpful and doesn't just doesn't make us feel good? Which is often what happens. We throw money at it, and it makes us feel better because we think.
But we've been talking about this in our Sunday school class. Americans are real good at throwing money at stuff, but we're not so good at throwing time at it.
Right, right. Time. I mean, that's the real gold in America, right?
Right.
Time.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. So how do we do that? How do we invest ourselves? And I come from a very definite place, and that's from Jesus Christ, watching what he did and his life, and I see it, and I'm like, there's it's not just making sense sociologically. It's powerful. You can see it operating in the first century as he's teaching and as he's doing a lot of things there. And so that's what we take. We're in our neighborhood and we say, what does that look like for us? How do we do this in a way that is helpful and loves our neighbors as ourself?
So you've been there 3 years now. Are you starting to see the fruits of your labors?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long-term investment. We really feel like we're there for – we know that we're going to raise our children there. I have a 13-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And, we're in the process of adopting our 2-year-old. And we feel like this is something that we're going to raise our kids in the city. We're going to raise our kids to love Cleveland and love people around us, and hopefully they'll stay there when they graduate high school and go on to college or whatever they do after high school. And even if we're just now seeing glimmers
mm-hmm.
of a change, we're fine with that because we understand that it's beyond us. It's longer than just this year or next year, but it moves beyond that. So, yeah. And we're committed to our neighborhood in that way.
Well, that's good because, so many times people come in to different places.
Mm-hmm.
They throw around some money, and then they leave.
Yeah.
And it's a long term. It's building a house.
Yeah.
It's building a foundation and a society.
Right. Yeah. And if we have enough people becoming engaged in their neighborhoods and in the cities, then cities get built back up. I mean,
well,
the reason cities die is because people leave. They give
right.
up on the city, which for and a lot of people, it's very good reasons that they give up. For other people, it's easier other places. And
yeah.
we're saying, well, let's just stay here and let's engage and let's contribute and let's pour in and invest in this neighborhood specifically and this city. And what we're finding is a lot of people are thinking the same thing. And even people who aren't coming from it the same way that I am, from a Christian perspective.
Okay.
So, hey, by the way, Matt, that was a good story. I like it. I'd never heard that before.
It's a true one, and as I said before, it's we got to get back to that mentality in this country. I'll give you another for instance. My sister is kind of doing something very similar to what you're doing in Cleveland there. She has a practice in South Carolina. She's a pediatric therapist and has a practice down there. And she had bought a very large property with a very large house and a very large barn for the purpose of having any children who are handicapped who can't afford to get getaways and things of that nature and spend quality time with their families and things of that nature. She bought that property just for that purpose, and she's counting on exactly what you're counting on, and that's people coming out and helping and contributing with the skills that they've been blessed with. And I'll tell you what, Mark, it's worked. She has built one heck of a place there, and it works.
All right, Matt, we're going to break, and we will be talking to you in a few minutes.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Here are some results of the Mahoning County Board of Elections. County Commissioner John McNally will be Youngstown's next mayor. McNally defeated DeMaine Kitchen with 55% of the votes to Kitchen's 43%. For the second time this year, Youngstown voters rejected a charter amendment to ban fracking in the city. And most school districts in Mahoning, Trumbull, and Columbiana counties lost their battle for additional mills. Canfield Schools was the sole victor. The levy passed there will generate more than $3 million a year. It'll cost the owner of a $100,000 home about $200 a year. The money will be used to restore busing within the district, update safety and security in all schools, and more. Five young people from Youngstown were arrested for an armed robbery in Boardman. They range in ages from 14 to 20. Police say the group was walking along Prestwick and Hudson on Saturday, and they held up a 17-year-old at gunpoint. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The Home Builders and Remodelers Association invites you home for the holidays with their Home and Holiday Show, November 8th through the 10th at the Eastwood Expo Center in Niles. See HBA contractors with ideas for fixing up your home, as well as a variety of crafters ready to help you decorate and kick off your holiday shopping. It's unlike any holiday show you've ever seen, and it's absolutely free. Sponsored by Baird Brothers Fine Hardwoods and Lowe's. The HBA Home and Holiday Show at the Eastwood Expo Center, November 8th through the 10th. Great ideas for your home and the holidays. Brought to you in part by Newstalk 600, WSOM.
If you even think you may be in danger of foreclosure, call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling today at 866-687-6322 or visit MortgageHelpNow.org. Again, that's 866-687-6322. 6322 or visit MortgageHelpNow.org. This has been a public service from the NFCC.
Chances are your furnace isn't going to quit working between 8 and 5 on a weekday. Ainsley Heating and Cooling knows you shouldn't pay more when your furnace breaks after 5 p.m. or on a weekend. At Ainsley Heating and Cooling, we don't charge you any unnecessary fees. No overtime, no diagnostic, and no trip charges. That's right, same price day or night, weekends too. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling now, 330-637-1911, or AinsleyHTG.com.
With WeatherTight Windows, our gift to you is a free WeatherTight window. When you buy two WeatherTight windows, you get the third window free. That's absolutely free. And we can have it installed before Thanksgiving if you give us a call today. Financing available with no payments till way into next year, and there's a $500 energy tax credit that goes along with anything that's Energy Star rated from WeatherTight. Don't forget, we have siding, entry, patio doors, kitchen cabinet facing, and roofing that if you give us a call today, we could get them installed before the holidays. So pick up the phone and call. Mention you heard us on K105, extra special discount. MyWeatherTight.com, more information, but here's the number for the free estimate, 1-800-821-8483. That's 821-8483. And like always, whether it be one window or house full, Mrs. Merv and the WeatherTight family guarantee you'll be satisfied with WeatherTight replacement windows for the life of your house.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
John Deere, way out here.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Sticks sitting in for Tracy this afternoon here on WSOM 600 AM. This is Tracy and Friends in the Afternoon. And if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 347-945-5229. And today we have Mark Pratt from Toward the City Ministries in Cleveland, Ohio. And he's been telling us all the good things they're doing up there. Let's talk some more about your Christmas store, Mark.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to be We'll have two shopping days this year. We changed it up a little bit from last year. Last year we opened for 5 weeks, and we were open 2 days a week for 5 weeks. And this year we have a bigger store so that we can handle more people on any given shopping day. So we're only having two shopping days because we anticipate having enough crowds on those two shopping days that we'll actually get rid of all of our toys in those two shopping days. So December 7th and December 14th, the first two Saturdays of December, will be the days that we're opening the store up. And we're excited because this year, what we did last year kind of spawned into another Christmas store in a suburb of Cleveland that is doing the same thing. They got the idea from us. And then this year, another group's helping us to do this Christmas store with the hope of doing another one next year several blocks away from us. So it's something that we hope that catches on. People start thinking about doing it and more because it's really, I think it's a really good way of really, especially during the Christmas season when everyone's in a really giving mood anyway, and a lot of people are wanting to get gifts for their families, something that can take off and really spread throughout the city and the region and really start sparking. How do we talk about helping people, empowering people?
Mm-hmm.
So
if people want to donate toys or cash, what do they need to do? Where do they need to go? Who do they need to call?
Yeah, that's good. So we have a website. Our church website is www.towardthecity.com. And at the bottom of the homepage is a picture of a gift or two gifts. They can click on that, and it'll take them to the webpage for the Christmas store. And it explains a little bit of why we're doing what we do. And on that page, there are links to we set up a gift registry through a local store just so we could just populate a list of gifts so people can click and see what we'd like to have in the store. Or they can buy whatever they want, and they can send it to where the store is going to be, and that information is on that webpage. Or they can give if they want to give, but they just don't want to ship a gift. Say if they're a couple states away, because we have some people that are a couple states away, they'll be doing this, but they don't want to ship the gift to the store just because of cost. They can designate through the church that money. So, and there's a link for that goes to online giving. And there's a drop box that says Christmas store, and they can give that way. And that money that goes into the Christmas store is set aside and is only used for that Christmas store. It's a designated gift, so it can't be used for anything else.
Now you said earlier that the first year you did this, you shied away from electronics. Is that still kind of the case?
Yeah, we did. There's so many electronics everywhere, and I say that as I sit here with my cell phone and my computer in front of me. So there's so many electronics out. There's video games. There's things like that. And we want to stay away from those kind of gifts. So we want more interactive gifts. So sports, so footballs, soccer balls, basketballs, bats, gloves. We want to have games, board games, books even, interactive, Legos, Lincoln Logs, like the things that engage people's minds and engage people in something beyond. Now, electronics are great.
Books and games?
Right. So books, games, baby dolls, like those kinds of gifts. We don't want a lot of video games and a lot of that kind of stuff because, for a number of reasons, but we want those kinds of things that will actively engage people beyond just a TV screen and a video game. I'm not anti-video game. I'm just saying we would prefer those gifts.
Things that provoke conversation between families.
Yeah, things that help promote family, but also the kids. Get them using their imagination. They're acting. They're just being more active, too. Our kids, we watch them. The difference between when they watch TV and when they're actually playing, and there's a huge difference.
Sure.
And
now,
I mean, there's tons of studies that say all that, too. So
now with the new system, are you going to be able to do bicycles?
Yeah, so we had bicycles last year. We were fortunate that, believe it or not, a children's home in Ohio, they had the year before gotten just so many bikes given to them. They had extras, and they gave us
their
Christian children's home. And so they gave us the leftover bikes they had from the year before, so we had a number of bikes, and, man, those things were gone in a heartbeat.
Oh, I'll bet. Every kid wants a bike.
Every kid wants
a
bike
and a sled.
And people steal bikes. Like, we've had two bikes stolen from our yard.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So, it's my son keeping them unlocked. So I tell him, hey, son, you need to go lock your bike up or it's going to get stolen. And
sure enough,
this classic case of the 13-year-old thinking he's smarter than the dad.
Yeah.
So, and they do. But yeah. That's a whole nother story. But, yeah, we don't want electronics. I had a conversation 2 years ago with a little kid, and I said, hey, man, why don't you get a book? And he's like, no, I'm not going to get a book. And I'm like, why? He said, nobody reads. I'm like, yes, they do. People read. Everybody reads. He's like, no,
yeah.
They don't. He said, I get all the reading I need for my video games. And I'm like, all right, so let's take the 10 most influential people in the world. What would you say is one of the, like, if we were to ask them what led to them being the most influential, what are some of the things you would say would lead to that? And, you know, the kid, he's pretty sharp, so he's like school and you know, and trying hard. And I said, what else would you think? And he said, I don't know. And I said, believe it or not, most leaders credit their influence mm-hmm. through their reading. And he's like, no. I said, do you think President Obama reads? And he goes, no, he doesn't. I'm like, yeah, that man reads.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And he's like, and he didn't believe me. I'm like, well, all right. So for us, we want to show, I mean, they're going to get the video games because
yeah.
they're popular.
Right.
We want to put things that they may not not get necessarily.
Okay. All right. See, yeah, there's a, I saw the Dr. Carson story, the one, the movie with Gifted Hands with Cuba Gooding in it. And there's a scene in the movie where his mother actually goes to work, and of course it's cinematography, so you're not sure how accurate it is, but his mother goes to work for this college professor as a cleaning lady. So she's cleaning this guy's study up, and she notices that there's this pile of books in front of the television set. And she asks him, she says, well, have you read all the books in this room? I mean, it's his library, it's full of books, you know, and there's books scattered everywhere, stacked everywhere. And he says, well, most of them, yeah. And she looks back again. She sits down. She's dusting. And she keeps looking at this pile of books sitting in front of the television set. So she goes home, and she shuts the television set off. And, of course, the kids are all upset, you know, Dr. Ben and his brother, they're all upset. And she says, listen, here's the deal. You're going to get 1 hour of television a week. You can pick it. And the rest of the time, there's the library. And to this day, Dr. Carson will say that is what turned his life around.
Yeah, yeah. It's huge. Just for me, it's, you know, for whatever reason, I grew up just loving reading. Part of it was we lived in a pretty rural place, so we had no cable,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't pick up many stations. I think we had one station we picked
right.
up on the antenna. And that was it. And, of course, it was before video games. So
right.
Right. That lets you know how old I am. And so for me it was – and we didn't have a whole lot of money growing up, but we had a library that kept a lot of books. And my mom would take me to the library every week. And I would get books and read and get more books and read. And so no matter how or where I've been, when I was in the Marine Corps stationed overseas, I had books. And they
right.
kept me – sane a
mm-hmm.
lot of times, and they kept me entertained when I had time to
right.
actually pick them up and read them. I actually even took a book to boot camp, but I won't tell you what happened to that book when the drill instructor.
I know what happened to that
out.
Book. I,
thinking
yeah,
that I could
I,
read.
I was in the Navy. I know exactly what happened to your book you took to boot camp with you. But yeah, I was a submarine sailor, so there's
oh, yeah.
not a whole lot to do on patrol.
Yeah.
You know, read back. And this was back. Way back, you know, when we still had beta tapes.
Yeah, right.
You know, so you know, you had one movie a day, but other than that, you know, if you were off any other time during the day, it was either read or go to sleep.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I know exactly where you're coming from. There's not a, and that's good. It what it does is it expands your mind.
Right. Yeah. And that's so. And so. Yeah, so we want more of the interactive stuff, fun toys too, not just like, you know, I think on our website we have some action figures and some of the superhero, you know, masks and things like that. So those are all fun. And believe it or not, the parents that come in shopping, they love that stuff. They, I mean, the sports stuff, that went off the shelf first last year. Baby dolls went off the shelf pretty quickly last year. Games went off the shelf. Legos went off the shelf pretty quickly. All the stuff that that was interactive, the parents were excited about it, too. It's not just – because usually that stuff's a little more expensive than some of the other things.
Yeah, I'm looking at your list now. We've got Baby Einstein.
Yeah.
Lego Creator, Thunder Wings, Leapfrog. Leapfrog's awesome.
Yeah,
my kids had Leapfrog.
Yep, and I just randomly put a bunch of stuff on that list, and it's definitely not limited to the things on that list. So really, use your imagination. What are things that kids like?
Doc McStuffins Doctor's Bag.
Yeah,
that's I didn't even know kids still played with Doctor's Bag.
Oh yeah, man. That's something else that went quick is like. We had a couple of princess like outfits come in with wands and tiaras and stuff, and those things were gone very quickly because girls wanted that stuff.
Good.
And so use your imagination. I mean, there's tons of toys out there. There's tons of things. So if anybody wants to give those kinds of things, then definitely we'll take them. We actually need them because that's how we stock the store. The church has a budget to stock the store, but it won't by any means cover everything. And so we're relying on people who want to give during Christmas time, but want to give a little different than maybe they have in the past.
Okay.
Through other programs like Toys for Tots or stuff like that, which those are great programs, but we're trying to shift how we do those things.
Right.
Hey, Mark,
right.
Do you have
and your program's open to anybody, right? Anybody can walk in off the street.
Yeah, it's like a regular store.
And go through.
Yeah, it's like a regular store. So, and that's part of the process is we want to make it as much like a regular store as possible. We're hoping that the people that take advantage of it, the people that really want to be, to take less advantage of the free handouts and more of the thing that we're doing.
Okay.
And of course, we're trusting that there's not going to be, people that make a lot of money each year coming into shop on that day.
Right.
So,
because
they
have
the money to pay for it elsewhere. So.
Right. Right. I think most people still have a sense of duty and do what's right. I mean, you're going to have your few.
Right,
you always
right.
do,
yeah.
But what can you do about that?
Right.
It's just the way it is. You can't you can't stand there and say, "Show me your W-2 before you walk through the door."
Right, right, right. So it's open like a regular store. So and this is one of those things where last year we didn't know what to expect, and we were very pleased by how it turned out. And this year, I think it's going to be the same.
Now, do you have an address yet?
Yeah, it's 3389 Fulton Road, Cleveland, Ohio, 44109. That's the used to be a Catholic church. It was shut down in 2009 and then reopened as a ministry center that was bought by another ministry, not a Catholic church. The Catholic church sold it. And it was opened back up to facilitate ministry in the city specifically. So there's office, nonprofit office spaces there. There's what used to be the convent now houses veterans so they can get their feet back on the ground and find jobs and things like that. Great guys that are living there. The sanctuary, which is where the store is going to be, is actually going to be in the fellowship hall of the sanctuary, which is below the sanctuary. It's just a really cool place. There's a coffee shop there now that.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's probably been a while since you rented a DVD. Well, now a leader in that business is pushing the eject button for good.
On-demand video and DVD kiosks have taken away the business Blockbuster once dominated. Now Dish Network, which owns Blockbuster, says it will close its remaining 300 corporate stores that are still open and will end the Blockbuster DVD-by-mail service. Some stores that are franchised may stay open. The head of Dish Network says it was not an easy decision to close the stores.
ABC's Alex Stone, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius on the hot seat again. She told the Senate panel that the troubled healthcare.gov website is being fixed.
In the first few weeks after healthcare.gov launched, users had to wait an average of 8 seconds for pages to load. Today, it typically takes less than a second. A month ago, viewing and filtering health plans took minutes. Today, it takes seconds.
But opponents say that isn't enough for the millions of Americans whose current insurance policies are being canceled. Does religion have a place in government? That's a question before the Supreme Court justices today. At issue, prayers said at the start of meetings in the town of Greece, New York. The Reverend Rob Schenck with Faith in Action says the Constitution guarantees it.
For the government to tell a citizen when he or she is to pray or not to pray is a flagrant violation of the First Amendment.
Opponents say the prayers, however, violate the separation of church and state. A transgender woman in Oregon is petitioning the Mormon Church. Last year, Leonora Isaac was a married father named Bob. Now she wants to attend women-only church gatherings.
My sex is now female. And I just want the records to reflect that. And I don't think it's really contrary to any doctrine or to any policy that we have that this can be done.
No comment yet from the church. The Dow's up 115 points. This is ABC News.
If you're a responsible homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your responsibility. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for responsible homeowners who are current on their payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. Over 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
A lot of people are buying a certain Dodge truck model, and a classy new ad campaign is getting much of the credit.
They started running a month ago. Ads for the re-engineered Dodge Durango featuring pretend TV anchorman Ron Burgundy.
You know that old saying, it's time to get the heck out of Dodge? I say you get the heck into one.
A Dodge executive says, since comedian Will Ferrell, who plays Burgundy, showed up, visits to the company website soared nearly 80%. And according to Ad Age, sales were up almost 60% in October. Analysts say give Ron Burgundy the credit. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Well, maybe there's bipartisanship at their dinner table. Democrat Jennifer Johnson won the election for warden in Ward 1 in Waterville, Maine. She beat her Republican opponent and husband, David Johnson, 127 votes to 76. The warden's job is to oversee voting at polling places on Election Day. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
And now, it's the News Talk 600 Drilling Down Report.
It's been a busy few weeks in Ohio with natural gas processing plants coming online all across the state. Now a major milestone is about to take place at a plant in Columbiana County. The Kensington plant is currently accepting material from wells in Columbiana, Carroll, and Harrison counties, and it can process 200 million cubic feet of gas per day. But that number is soon to change. Grant Hammer, plant supervisor.
We have one train running, one cryogenic train running. We have number two train should be on by the 1st of December of this year. And we also are building out a third cryo train, which will bring us up to 600 million total build out of the facility.
The Kensington plant is part of the UEO Buckeye system, which consists of the Harrison Hub in Harrison County and another plant in Leesville, Ohio.
It was new for a lot of my teammates to see.
While touring the plant, Scott Nally, director of the Ohio EPA, said his agency had to learn a lot about the oil and gas industry to prepare themselves for what was to come.
So we worked with our sister agencies, both over in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Texas, North Dakota, and Wyoming, to learn lessons learned.
Nally says they're working closely with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources to make sure the right regulations are in place and that they're being followed. And as for Ohioans worried drilling operations could contaminate their drinking water, he says there's no need for concern.
Remember how deep they are. Most of the homeowner wells in this area are within 100 feet to the surface. You know, you're talking well over a mile deep and then going out over a mile. So you have a lot of Mother Nature, Mother Earth, between their aquifer, their water source, or their drinking water well versus where the gas is coming from.
The Kensington plant currently employs 40. Preliminary plans were announced last week for construction of a fourth train depending on demand. As companies such as Halcone, Hillcorp, and BP continue to explore the northern portion of the Utica in Trumbull and Mahoning County, the question everybody wants answered is, will it prove as productive as the southern portion? Frank Subaru, the president of M3 Midstream, thinks it will.
The acreage in the north is vastly untested. Initial tests are very good. There's some that are that weren't as good as others, but there are technical reasons why they were not as good.
Subaru says once the midstream infrastructure is up and running, he expects the Harrison Hub will start to see a lot of gas coming from the north.
We truly believe that the rich gas window is a very, very large window, spanning from the Mahoning area, Mahoning County, all the way up to the Pennsylvania state line, down here to Harrison County.
With this week's Drilling Down Report, I'm Michael Moliterno.
Turns out you can use the Internet to get a free quote on state minimum car insurance from Safe Auto. Just go to safeauto.com and see for yourself. The best part? It's quick and easy. You can also call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Drive safe, spend less.
Broadcasting from the Ford studios, your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers announced the Built Ford Tough Truck event. Lease a new 2013 F-150 Super Cab or Super Duty with 0% financing for 60 months. Visit drive1ohio.com for details.
I need a data backup solution for my business to replace my current tape backup device.
Do you want to spend a lot of money?
No.
Do you want to store and pay for replicated data?
No.
How about a solution that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Backup. End-to-end protection for physical and virtual servers,
including data deduplication,
to significantly reduce storage requirements,
and replicated cloud storage for assured recovery,
and live humans to answer your call.
Try Barracuda Backup free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Well, hello there, good people. This is your happy polka pal, Larry Walk.
And your happy polka gal, Diana Walk.
Inviting you to tune in our Happy Polka Land show, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM, every Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m.
It's the musical antidepressant, featuring a custom blend of the latest in polka releases, as well as the polka picks from the past.
That's Larry Walk's Happy Polka Land, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM. Tune in for instant happiness.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good afternoon, everybody. It sticks in for Tracy here at Tracy and Friends on WSOM 600 AM. It's 10 minutes after 3 or 10 minutes after 2. The clock hasn't been changed here in the studio. It's 10 minutes after 2 in the afternoon. And We're here. If you want to talk to us, our number is 347-945-5229. We're live on WSOM 600 AM. And today we got with us Mark Pratt from Towards the City Ministries in Cleveland. And we've been talking about all the good things he's got going on up there, his Christmas store, the handing out books to the kids in the summertime. And just sounds to me like you're really making a huge difference in people's lives up there in Cleveland, one neighborhood at a time.
Yeah, we're trying. And we're not the only ones, though. That's the thing, is that we're not the only ones doing this in Cleveland and around the state, around the country. So it's really cool, because the more I talk about what we're doing and think about what we're doing, the more I run across people who are doing the same things in other places, even other parts of the city. So it's a pretty neat thing that's happening. So.
Well, that's great. Hey, Matt, you're up.
Hey, Styx. I was just wondering, as far as the donations and things of that sort, do you guys have any type of a pickup service yet, or anything of that nature, where people who may not be able to, who might be older or handicapped, can't get those toys and such to your facility? Do you have a pickup service for that yet?
We don't, but I guess that's me. So, there's a way to contact me through our website. So if someone wanted to do that, then I definitely would make that happen. So, well, as long as it's not, a couple thousand miles away, I would definitely make sure that happens. Because we've gone as far as a couple hours away to pick up things for last year's store. So, definitely we can do that. So if somebody wanted to, we could just set that up with them.
So how much, how are you going on your donations so far? I mean, have you started collecting stuff already, or you got stuff, have you started like the first of the year? Or?
Yeah, so we have some things left over from the store last year. We had some coats that didn't go out last year that we have, and right now we have churches that are gathering some gifts for us, and we'll start seeing those come in. Probably the last 2 weeks of November is what we like. We want to have those the last couple weeks of November. And, of course, we've had people give some money already, so that probably the last week of December, some volunteers from our church will go out and do some shopping. And they'll purchase a lot of things to begin stocking the store with. And, of course, that last week of November is when we decorate and set the store up and set everything out. So that's when we want to have everything in by. So,
this concept of not actually giving things away, but working on a system of lowered prices or percentage
right.
prices, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of other people starting to do that, or is it something? I mean, you travel in these circles, you talk to a lot of people.
Yeah. So it's definitely a shift that's taking place. So this last year, we helped host a regional conference here in Cleveland for the CCDA, which is the Christian Community Development Association. And the whole theme of that conference was what I'm talking about today.
Okay.
And there was probably about 10 of us, 10 different ministries that gave the money and paid. We actually paid the writer of Toxic Charity to come up and speak. And the whole conference was about, how do we do this? How do we shift to this kind of ministry, which is, I think, a healthier, more holistic kind of ministry in the city. And so it was a conference that had about 350 people came to it. And so that's just a piece of it. It's like trying to shift the mindset. How do we think about what we're doing? And so the conference was good. Dr. Lupton came and spoke, had some workshops that were just talking about different ways that people were in the city, or some people here in Youngstown, some people in Canton, Akron area, that were doing similar things or thinking along the same lines. And I know a good friend of mine in Canton, they do, I think they call it the Affordable Christmas, Corey Easterday. He started this 3 years ago.
That name sounds familiar.
He started this 3 years ago, and I think they're in their fourth year this year, and it's a huge success. So, and I've picked his brain, and continue to pick his brain, because he started doing this several years before we did, and that's the case around the country.
Now, are you starting to see people talking about doing this in other forms of traditional Christian ministries?
Oh yeah, yeah.
In our food banks and clothing ministries and such.
Yeah, so I mean, you don't even have to. So it's not just kept to like the Christmas time. It can be, this can be given across a wide range. So Dr. Lupton in his book talks about food pantries.
Mm-hmm.
So there's often an unhealthy relationship that forms between a church food pantry and people that are taking part in that food pantry, because there's rules. If you're a food pantry at a church, you have rules for who can come in and get food. Well, then people begin figuring out ways to get around those rules. And,
right,
and there's
right.
this is a relationship of distrust, and often really
yeah.
it's almost given like a grudging
mm-hmm.
Gifting of things.
Well, when I was part of the food pantry at one of the churches in Canton, we actually got with the other churches and we actually instituted a list.
Yeah, right.
Because you had people who were going from church to church to church to church to church.
Right.
And I could see where you're saying it, you end up with this almost grudging,
mm-hmm.
you know, you look at the people coming through the door in a different way, you
right.
know, because you don't trust them.
Yeah, and so it becomes a pretty unhealthy
mm-hmm.
relationship, and that's what we're trying to – we don't want those unhealthy relationships.
Right.
So a way that begins to shift is it moving away from a food pantry to a food co-op, where specific examples that I think of are people, they contribute $3 a month,
okay.
$3 a week, however you want to do it, but $3 a month to this food co-op that purchases food, bulk food from a food bank.
Right.
And runs this food co-op, and the people that are actually taking part in the food co-op actually man the co-op and run the co-op and pick the food they're getting. It's just basically the church becomes the facilitator for this.
Okay.
So they help organize it, help people figure out how they're going to bring their resources together to buy bulk from a food bank, what food they're going to get, help them organize it and put it all together into what the food co-op becomes. And those are some ways to begin thinking beyond that, even to a clothing co-op. There's a guy that I know in, I think, Greenford Christian Church.
Yeah, that's right down the road down here.
Big Reach Ministries.
Yeah.
They're doing some amazing things in how they rethink what they do, and just some great stuff. And a lot of, like, hearing what they're doing and seeing what they do gave me ideas for what we're doing in Cleveland. And so it's like people are sharing ideas and thoughts and how they do things, and it's an amazing thing that happens. So yeah, you can talk about shifting the way you do food pantries, the way you do giving out clothes, and I mean, there's always going to be a need for the emergency stuff. People do need
right.
emergency food,
right.
emergency
right.
shelter, emergency heat.
And I've never seen a church yet that if you didn't walk in the front door and say I'm hungry, you didn't walk out with two bags of groceries.
Right, right. I mean, and that's, you know, I was just in Canton a couple weeks ago, and we were walking down the street, and this lady came up to us and, you know, wanted money for food. And my friend was like, well, I don't have any cash, but there's a Subway right beside of us. Why don't you come in and eat with us? So different ways of thinking about that. And you just sit and talk to her and learn
right.
more about her life, and maybe better ways of helping her or connecting to her or connecting her to the church. And so just a bunch of different ways you can start to think about how do we give things and how do we do these things. So.
Right, right. I mean, we need to look, most of us middle class, upper middle class people don't realize the downward spiral that just simply the loss of a job can do to a family.
Right, yeah. And that's huge because, see, I grew up in a family that was a very close-knit.
Mm-hmm.
So if something bad were to happen to me, I had the family network that could support that. It's a safety
right.
net almost. So
right.
if something bad were to happen to me, our family, even though they're in Virginia, you know, they're way from here,
mm-hmm.
would still come together to help us. And we take that for granted because there's a lot of families that don't have that safety net. Or if they have a close family, it's generational poverty, so there's not the resources there.
Right.
And so we have to figure out a way, how do we genuinely meet needs so that we can actually help people get back on their feet? How do we become a safety net for a time for people and help them plug back in? Or I mean, because for some people, an injury at work is catastrophic.
Right.
Because so if I'm a construction worker and I hurt my knees, like I hurt my knee a couple years ago, had to have ACL repaired, there's no way if I were a construction worker I could have continued doing
construction.
Yeah,
if you're a contract guy.
If I were doing that for 6 months at least.
Right.
Because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't good enough to be kneeling down on the ground
right.
for 6 months. And that was just a freak ACL tear accident.
Because a lot of lower income people, and those of us who work traditional jobs, steel mill jobs.
Yeah.
You know, you get hurt, you go on comp.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way the system is. But a lot of lower middle class people, tradesmen, are self-employed.
Yeah. And it's competitive.
And it's very competitive. And not only that, most of them weren't educated in the insurance system, so they don't purchase insurances that they should have because they just don't know they're available.
Right.
I mean, you know, most people don't. When you're 21, you think you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, the next thing you know, you turn around, you're 30, and you got a wife and a couple of kids, and your knees start to hurt when you get up in the morning. Well, by then, you know, if you're self-employed, a disability policy, a short-term disability policy, is starting to get pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we're not educated to think about these things.
Yeah, right.
Because that's my big ministry thing is the financial stuff. You
yeah,
know,
right.
Teaching people,
which is needed.
Teaching that's... people to handle their money the way God says to handle your money.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, so things that some of us would be able to recover from, other people can't, and
right.
and it just it downward spirals from there.
Right.
And once that one generation downward spirals in there, every generation after that in that same family, they start off at that point.
Right.
And there's no way to grow out of that or to climb out of that.
It appears to me from what I've seen through dealing with mainly my tenants. Is the education factor is lost.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, maybe grandpa knew about insurances and stuff, but two or three generations down, they just, you know, all of that knowledge is gone.
Yeah.
You know what, Styx? Let me ask this yeah. question too. As part of the program that you run, Mark, do you guys educate at all while you're, I mean, I understand the charity aspect of it, but do you sit down and talk and try to educate people on, I understand, you know, the position you're in right now and try to get a feel for them and try to educate them on how to not wind up in that situation anymore?
Yeah. And it's definitely a case by case. So when we do the store and things like that, we try to like man the store with a lot of people so that, and we encourage conversations because the more you know about people and the more they know about you, the closer relationship can grow. And in those relationships is when you begin to can say, "Hey, have you thought about this or have you thought about that?" And oh, you have, but why didn't you? There's those conversations that can happen because if I don't have a relationship with somebody, then the likelihood that I listen to advice is pretty low from them because I don't know who they are. I don't trust them. And so we want to develop relationships so that there can be, I guess the closest thing, almost like a mentoring type relationship, where you can talk about things like that. So you can talk about reading, or you can talk about what schools your kids are going to, because it matters. I mean, in Cleveland, and I'm sure this is borne out in other places in Ohio, there's from school to school, there's a big difference. One school can be a very good school, and one school can be a very bad school.
Mm-hmm.
And in Cleveland, we have the ability to say, "Hey, we want our kid to go to this other school." And often, parents don't have the resource to do that or think about that. So, because if I'm a parent and I want my kids to do well in school, I send them to the school that I think they'll do better in. And so, yeah. So there's that relationship that builds that we can begin to say that or can say, "Hey, we're doing a financial peace university class. Would you be interested in learning more about finances or how to balance a checkbook and things like that?" Yeah.
We're going to be going to break here. See you on the other side.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. But it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater? Really?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
Obama gives this speech and he drones on and on and on about the future, about his vision. State of the Union speech. He's talking about the future. He's painting a picture. He's creating an image. If we just had more taxes, if we just had more government, more programs, more departments, more agencies. If we just had more, paradise would be here.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com. Or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And everybody's beautiful in their own way. Under God's heaven, the world's gone fine.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's WSOM 600 AM. It's Tracy and Friends in the afternoon, and this is Stick sitting in for Tracy. Tracy's out running errands and taking a day off, so we're here, and we're just covering all the bases for her. If you want to call in and talk to us, the number is 347-945-5229, and in the studio I have with me Mark Pratt from Toward the City Ministries, and we've been talking about the wonderful stuff Mark and his wife and three children, right?
Three children, yeah.
Have been doing up north, up in Cleveland, and the things that they're forging and the relationships they're forging all over the all over the state, and a new way of doing charity. We're talking about a new way of doing charity where people are actually having to earn a little bit of what they're getting so they can keep their dignity. And so we were talking earlier about the food banks and the co-op type things.
Yeah.
What's some more of that going on, and who's doing that anyways?
Yeah, so there. I mean, there's that kind of thing is starting to, you know, it really, it's funny because, it's you know, we say a new way of looking at it, but it's not new. It's just, it's been being done since, well, I've been reading people that were doing it in the 70s and the 60s, and specifically like the food co-ops and things like that, but they're starting to gain traction again among a younger generation. And they're good in a lot of ways because they want, you know, they help a lot of local, a lot of it's local growers. So the food that comes in the co-ops are through local growers and connections made with local growers. And but also it's pulling resources. So with a thing like a food bank or with a local grower that can sell bulk, I bought 400 apples a couple weeks ago for $40.
Oh, wow.
Right. So when you have, now there's no way my whole family eats 400 apples before they go bad, but if you have 40 people pitching a dollar in,
right,
you know, that's a pretty good deal for for some apples, and that's a local grower that we were able to get that, an all organic kind of thing. So so you start talking about that, and it's a different way of looking at. Now it takes some energy. You have to relate with other people and organize yourselves to figure out what do we want. So what do we want to get from the food bank bulk?
Right, right.
What is it that we saw that they had good there last time? And you know, there's the bulk places that you can get that food from, especially in Cleveland. So you just have to have the time, the energy to set that up. Other things like community gardens, those are huge.
I was just going to ask you about community gardens.
Where you can work together and get land to – that's still owned by the city, or you know, or maybe even just owned by an individual that lets you use that piece of land because they're not going to do anything else with it, and you grow produce, and you're working in the garden together, and the people that work the garden get the produce.
Right.
Like that's a very simple thing.
Right.
And it's not, you know, the produce from a garden in the city is not going to provide enough food to eat for the whole year. But it's,
know about that.
I mean, you can. Well, the garden's out.
I mean, then you got to. I mean, the thing is, I mean, all of this stuff we talked earlier about. A little piece here and a little piece there,
yeah.
You know, and you know, a little piece is gardening, a little piece is teaching people how to can,
right,
you know.
Right, yeah, and that's it. And, you know, the garden that I run is not going to feed anybody for a year. Believe it or not, we had deer come into the city and eat some of our, we planted some fruit trees last year, and the deer ate a couple of our fruit trees. So, deer in Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're overpopulated. I mean, it's probably lots of goose meat in Cleveland too.
Yeah. So I mean, doing those kinds of things, just thinking more. And if you're doing it in a neighborhood and you're inviting people to do it with you, then you can make a little small impact. And the more people that are doing that, the bigger it grows.
It's building relationships.
Yeah. That's the key. It's always relationships. You know, our resources are finite as a family, but our relationships go way deeper than financial resources, and that's huge, because when you have a neighbor that you can trust,
right?
And like in our neighborhood, there's a lot of crime and a lot of people, and that's a part of it is there's a lack of trust in the neighborhood because you don't know who to trust, and the more you know your neighbors, the better you trust them.
Right.
The more you get to know them, and you get to know the ones you can trust, and you build community, a stronger sense of community that way.
Well, and you also build a sense of trust, because pretty soon, well, I know my neighbor, and
yeah.
I'm not going to walk into his backyard and
right.
steal his kid's bike, because
right.
how can I steal Joe's bike?
Yeah,
because
we know Joe, right.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's a... You know, I'm painting a really pretty picture of that, because it's not perfect and it's kind of messy, but we understand that. And here's the thing, though: in the 50s, people knew that already. They knew you kept an eye on your neighbor's kids,
well,
and you knew your neighbors. And
we've grown crass as a society, and we've also lost a lot of the basic just a basic respect for each other and each other's property.
Yeah.
You know, my dad, you know, you don't walk on that man's ground. I mean, that's just the way it was.
Right.
You know, the only ground that... Oh, it looks like our computer just crashed. So, but anyways, the only part of that other man's ground you walked on was the front walk to get to his front door, to knock on his door to ask permission to be on the property.
Right, right. Yeah, so, I mean, it all goes back to that, and it's all interrelated, and it all is connected in some ways to what we're trying to do in Cleveland, so.
You know what, let me say this too, Mark. What I like about what you're doing versus government assistance is the fact it's more on a personal level.
Right.
It seems to build, like you said, it builds relationships. It builds somebody's self-esteem to get back into the fray. I mean, on some government, in some government areas, like say unemployment or something, you lose your job. It's pretty low. You sink to a low level after you lose your job. And sure,
right.
With unemployment through family services, they'll try to get you onto another job. But nobody's there to counsel you. It seems like your organization helps out and rounds about in so many different ways to help not only the help somebody retain another job, but their self-esteem as well.
Right, and that's that's huge. And like I said, because the government is, well, the government's supposed to be in the job of being efficient at what they do, and they create a system that is somewhat efficient for what they do. I know there's probably arguments against that, but what we do is it's hard to be efficient because you're meeting an individual where they are, and so, you know, it's hard to create an all-encompassing system that will meet every individual at the place that they are when it takes actually a relationship to learn about the individual. So you know, oh, hey, you know, as you're around town, you hear somebody needs, I keep using the drywall because I know a lot of guys that are into drywall. But I know somebody needs somebody to work on drywall, and they ask me, hey, do you know somebody that does drywall? And I say, actually, I do, and I know he's out of work and he needs work. And so I'm able to call him up and say, hey, man, there's a guy that's looking for a drywaller, or there's a guy that's I have a good friend that runs a machine shop, and he's looking for guys that are experienced in machine work.
Right.
It's hard to find.
Right.
And so when I can say, man, I just met somebody that's a machinist that's been out of work for a while. Maybe he had an addiction that he's maybe kicked, or maybe he's still struggling with that, but my friend's willing to work with that with him.
Well, see, yeah.
And
yeah,
say, this guy, you know, he maybe needs a little help, but he's willing to try to work. And given those chances and those opportunities, and a lot of that's word of mouth, a lot of that's who you know, but it's a lot of it's kind of networking, but it's all built on relationships. It's all about the relationships. I had a professor in seminary that always said, it's all about relationships. I mean, everything is. And how do we do that? How do we foster those relationships and help plug people in? It's huge.
Well, we were talking about the guy with the addiction thing. You know, that's the place where the small employers can really step up to the plate.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy tests clean, but he's falling back in and out, you know, you can gamble on that.
Yeah, and
where the Ford Motor companies can't.
Right, and those are hard though. I mean, addiction is hard. There's a lot of circumstances that become. I mean, these aren't easy problems.
Right.
I mean, but they're not problems that are going to go away. So we have to figure out ways to deal with them. And addiction is definitely, I mean, that's a huge problem. It's a huge problem anyway.
I mean,
but like I hear programs, I mean, I know of tons of programs that people are starting that are designed to help guys that are in that area, especially coming out of prison, get their feet back onto the ground, train them to do things, and get them engaged in the workforce again.
Well, that's a place where we need to work with our legislature too, because I was unaware until I started hanging out with Tracy. You can't cut hair in the state of Ohio if you're a felon.
Yeah, it's extremely hard for...
You can't drive a truck.
Yeah, it's extremely hard for convicted felons to find a job. I have many friends that are convicted felons that are motivated and have extremely hard time getting jobs. There's some jobs that are like welding is a pretty needed occupation now, and to go through training for to become a welder and to get into welding, you can do that with a felony conviction. So those kinds of things, there are things that we can do. We can try to start helping people get into those. And there's a church that I know that has people that are in that church that are starting programs to help men coming out of prison. And so those kinds of things, there's things in the city of Cleveland that are doing the same thing, culinary arts and some of the more technical, like welding and mechanics and things like that, to help people get into those jobs. And that's what we need to be doing, is being very active in doing that, and giving people the resources to get into those jobs.
Well, it makes no sense to take somebody that's committed a crime and you send them to jail. Then when they get out of jail, you say, well, we're going to make it so you can't live. I mean, it's just asking for a recidivism rate.
Right. And that's, you know, and the rate and the recidivist rate is pretty high for a number of crimes. But if we can start, most of the guys I know that are coming out of prison are guys that found Christ in prison, that began following Jesus while they were in prison. They come out, and I connected to them through Christian programs that they're in. And so, and I see a world of difference between who they said they were before and who they are now, and that's a huge piece of, I think, of how we help people. So, but yeah, so training and the relationships are huge. So, but this goes way beyond. Go ahead,
Matt.
I just wanted to ask one quick question. You had mentioned a church that was in the Cleveland area that you knew of that was helping convicted felons come out back into the workforce. Can you mention the name of that church? Because I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, so there's a Marlboro Christian Church I know that's in Alliance, I believe. I know that they have a...
Yeah, they're north of Alliance.
Yeah, so they have a guy there, and this is just a year ago that I heard from this, is he was starting a program to help train men that were kind of coming from rough edges of society, train them and get them into some productive jobs. Now, in Cleveland, there's a City Mission, which is not a church, but it's a... there's a lot of churches that actually contribute to the City Mission that houses men coming out of prison or homeless men and tries to help them, find a job or get into a place where they can find a job, either through a school or through training. And I knew that they were just starting a program, a culinary arts program, a couple months ago. So those kinds of things that are taking place are starting to happen, I think, more. Maybe smaller scale, so they're not as in people's face. But if I were to start something like that, it'd have to be really small scale because my resources financially are very small.
Right.
And that's what happens, is more people that are maybe not wealthy or don't have a lot of resources are wanting to make a difference, and so they start small scale like that. And, you know, maybe 10 men that they can do every year. I mean, that's still, in 10 years, that's 100 men.
Right.
And so if you do 10 however small or however big, but if we're all thinking along that line, then that's what they do. So, there's tons of churches in Cleveland that are doing some really good stuff and really thinking outside the box about how they can do, how they can reach and impact their neighborhoods for the better, helping to empower people and things like that. So,
we're heading for break. We'll see you on the other side.
It's a mystery, but I guess they don't know what they're talking about. From the mountains down to the sea, you become.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Here are some results of the Mahoning County Board of Elections. County Commissioner John McNally will be Youngstown's next mayor. McNally defeated DeMaine Kitchen with 55% of the votes to Kitchen's 43%. For the second time this year, Youngstown voters rejected a charter amendment to ban fracking in the city. And most school districts in Mahoning, Trumbull, and Columbiana counties lost their battle for additional mills. Canfield Schools was the sole victor. The levy passed there will generate more than $3 million a year. It'll cost the owner of a $100,000 home about $200 a year. The money will be used to restore busing within the district, update safety and security in all schools, and more. Five young people from Youngstown were arrested for an armed robbery in Boardman. They range in ages from 14 to 20. Police say the group was walking along Prestwick and Hudson on Saturday, and they held up a 17-year-old at gunpoint. For WSOM News, I'm Barbara Keegan.
Today in our community, families are struggling to meet their basic needs. The Northeast Ohio Ford dealers, your local Rotary Club, and Cumulus Radio of Youngstown are partnering with Operation Warm again this year to put new winter coats on children in need in our community. To date, we've provided several thousand coats in our community, but we need more. Donate what you can to Operation Warm. Every dollar donated stays right here in our community. More information is available at the Ford dealers' website, drive1ohio.com. The coats you provide through donations to Operation Warm will be distributed throughout our community through your local Rotarians. Studies have shown that just by giving a child a coat, they stand a little taller. Their grades improve. The goodness trickles down through the community. You can donate in honor of someone or in memory of someone. What a great way to show you care. The Northeast Ohio Ford dealers, local Rotary clubs, and Cumulus Radio of Youngstown are asking you to contribute to Operation Warm this season.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-293-9219. That's 1-800-293-9219. When you call the Direct Student Aid Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing endless student loan. If you are behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, Direct Student Aid can help you. You can cut your payments in half right away. Direct Student Aid will also stop their harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-293-9219. Direct Student Aid has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-293-9219 for free information today. That's 1-800-293-9219.
Hey, this is Guy Fieri. Now, when your recipe calls for red peppers, chili powder, garlic, and onions, you got the start of some awesome chili and maybe some heartburn. If that's the case, roll out the Rolaids Liquid.
Don't let heartburn keep you from enjoying the things you love. New Rolaids Liquid gets you back in the action fast, even when your worst heartburn symptoms flare up. Rolaids Liquid Dual Active Formula coats and soothes for rapid relief. New Rolaids Liquid in your choice of mint or cherry. Use as directed.
R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Now, that's how you spell relief.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
It don't matter where I may roam, tell you people that it's home sweet home, America, America. And my brothers are all black and white, yellow too, and the red man is right to expect a little from you.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Sticks in for Tracy. You're at Tracy and Friends in the afternoon. 347-945-5229 on WSOM 600 AM. And we're here this afternoon talking to Mark Pratt of Towards the City Ministries in Cleveland, Ohio. And we've been talking about a new way of doing charity and just helping people out by letting people help themselves.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, all this stuff is we're still trying to figure out and still trying to learn, and we're fortunate that there's a lot smarter people thinking about it too, and people that have done it for a lot longer than us, so we can look at them and see what they've done and try to figure out how that works in Cleveland, and we're not alone in it, so which is very helpful, trying to figure that out. So,
hey, one family, one block,
yeah,
one neighborhood, one city at a time. That's how we do this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we got a poverty problem in this country, and it, you know, those of us who call ourselves conservatives and we don't like government programs, we're going to have to step up to the plate. And if we don't want the government to do it, we're going to have to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to have to put our money and our time.
Right.
Probably our time is more important than our money.
Yeah. I mean, they're both important. On this end of things, when I'm trying to coordinate things and figure things out, they're both massively important. It's not one or the other. It's both. And, you know, I never thought about fundraising or any of those things until I got into what we're trying to do. It's a beast, but it's a necessary beast, I think.
You know, that's got to be hard to ask people for money.
It's hard. It's funny because I've just gotten to the point where it's something that we do. And something like the Christmas store, it's less hard because it's something that people understand already and want to do anyway. So we just trust the Lord that if he gives us the vision for it, then the resources will come. So they're not ours ultimately anyway.
Right. Everything belongs to him first.
Now,
where, if people want to help out, Mark, where do they go?
So our website is www.towardthecity.com, and at the bottom of that web page is a picture of some presents. They can click on that picture. It'll take them to the Christmas store page, and that page will explain what we're doing, a little bit of the background of what we're doing, and it will give links to ways they can help. So people can, we say, shop, serve, or give. They can shop for gifts and send to us, or they can serve. So they can serve with their time. They can serve in the store or any other number of things that we have going. There's a link to a sign-up sheet for that. Or they can give financially, it redirects you to our giving, online giving portion of our website for the church, and there's a drop-down menu that they can select Christmas store, which it's a designated gift, so it goes to that and only that, nothing else. And so those are three ways people can become involved. I'm always up for listening to people or hearing ideas people have. So another portion of our website has a way that people can contact me. So if people send me an email, I respond within 24 hours, either by email or if they want me to call them, I can call them. And I would love to hear ideas and thoughts about maybe something we haven't even talked about today, because, like I said, I'm not the guy that figures the ideas up. I listen to other people smarter than me. But definitely the shop, serve, or give on our website, and it should be pretty clear how they can do that through the website.
That's one thing my grandpa always said. You got to be smart enough to know how stupid you are.
Yeah, right. That's for me. It took years for me to figure that out.
It's amazing what our dads learned between the time we were 20 and 30.
Yep, right. That's definitely ways that people can become involved in the Christmas store this season in Cleveland. Or if you're in a city that has something similar, I urge you to become involved in that. I know there's stuff in Canton going on,
I'm sure right here in Youngstown there's got to be stuff.
There is, and you can find like-minded ministries to us through the CCDA website, which...
What's CCDA stand
for? It's Christian Community Development Association. Just a lot of what we talk about, like Dr. Lupton is huge in that. There's a lot of other things.
It's a multi-denominational deal?
Multi-denominational deal, and from all walks of life, from long-haired hippies to, you know, short-haired conservatives. Seriously, it is a place that... It's a very interesting thing. I don't know the website off the top of my head, but you can Google it and find out.
CCDA.
CCDA, yeah, Christian Community Development Association. And on that, you can find ministries that are attached to CCDA in different places. And I know there are some in Youngstown. And they may have something similar going on here. Or any city in the United States. Or anything like Matt was talking about his sister, I believe, doing.
Bridgewater Farms.
Bridgewater got to go to the website. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So people are doing that all across the country. So if you're somewhere and want to get involved with that, I really encourage you. The people that run those need help, both financially and with time. And I encourage you to seek those places out and really delve in and get involved, because they will not turn you away.
No, they definitely won't. That's for sure.
And if they can't use your help, then they can find, I'm sure they know somebody that does need help.
Right.
And there's so many things happening in Cleveland for sure, but I'm sure the same kind of thing is happening all across the country that people can be involved in. Your local church, I mean, they're trying to do a lot of things, so get involved in that too. So that's my plug.
Yeah. It, church, being a Christian is more than about showing up on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's we have to walk the walk.
Yeah.
You know, I said it a few minutes ago. You know, we complain about the government, but if we're not going to stand up and man up and do our part, you know, we get what we deserve, I guess.
Yeah, my dad always told me that you can't just complain. You have to come at least with a solution or with the willingness to work into a solution. So, because
right.
I was a complainer as a kid.
Yeah. I think we all are. I think everybody is. We, you know, we look around, we see everything's wrong, but we don't want to put forth any solutions.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's it, www.towardthecity.com. And it should be pretty self-explanatory from there on out with pictures and words to explain. If not, if you find a mistake, let me know.
Mark needs lots of books. Lots of books.
Our number is on there, too. So numbers and emails, that's all there.
Hey, Sticks.
So, go ahead.
I would just like to thank your guest for coming on. A big eye-opener, and it's an excellent example of how important the local, not only your local charities, but worrying about your local, you know, problems and residents come pretty much before anything else. That's where all this starts, is in your local scene. You know, you see all these federal programs that come out, or even on TV with, you know, worrying about children that are out of the country, which are absolutely tear-jerking, but nothing can be done until you worry about your local issues and your local problems, and that's exactly what he's doing. Mark, thank you very much, and Sticks, good show today, man.
thank you.
Thanks, Matt, and I couldn't agree more, just that we think local, and then we think national, and we think international. We can do all three, but if we're not doing the local, then we're probably not doing the other ones anyway. So,
right.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Matt.
Well, you know, I mean, those of us with a service background, we were taught from day one of boot camp, you know, you handle everything at the lowest level possible. And if you don't handle your next door neighbor and take care of his problems, what good does it do you to send money around a planet?
Yeah, but we should do both. We should worry about local and help everywhere. So, so we can't do one without doing another.
Well, they build on each other too.
Yeah,
you know, the giving is a muscle. You know, and the more you do, the more you're able to do.
Yeah.
The more it just starts to come naturally.
Yeah, it's good.
So,
thanks for having me on the show today.
Oh, hey, you know, we got like 5 minutes left.
Oh, do we? Awesome. Cool. Is there any other questions from anybody?
Matt's the only one out there right now. But
it's just me, Mark, right now. Sorry about that.
Hey, that website looks pretty cool, man.
What website
for your
is
sister.
That?
The one
you
said, the Bridgewater Farms. So.
Yeah, she does God's work as well. It, just like what you're doing, Mark. It's worried about your local community. She's not just local though. I love my sister to death. I can't say enough about her. She's considered to be among the top 10 occupational therapists in the country. Because she genuinely cares about these kids, and that's why she's doing what she's doing. A lot of people come to where she lives, and they go, wow, you must be rich, and she's not even close to it. She's just getting a lot of these local organizations are helping her out because it's a local thing. Again, it's a local thing. It's people that come and give their time. They give their sweat. They give their labor. And it's all about these kids that can't do for themselves because of whatever, you know, muscular dystrophy or cerebral palsy or something like that. And she came up with this idea along with her local community to be able to provide a place where parents can come with their kids, not have to worry about...
Oh, I guess we're done. My clock's up. Take care, guys.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Is it freedom of religion or freedom from it? That's what the Supreme Court justices are deciding today in a case that centers around a tiny town in upstate New York.
Susan Gallagher, who lives in Greece, New York, argues that an endless series of Christian prayers at town meetings violates her First Amendment rights.
The town has aligned itself with Christianity by just having Christian prayer givers.
But attorney Thomas Hungar, representing the town, told the court Greece did not choose only Christian pastors.
It happened that the people who chose to deliver a prayer in the town of Greece were Christian until 2008.
But the court was told every town meeting from 1999 to 2007 opened with a Christian prayer. Vic Ratner, ABC News, Washington.
President Obama is talking up his Affordable Care Act in a visit to Texas, a state which hasn't exactly embraced the law with... Walmart is known for low prices, but $33 for a treadmill or $9 for a computer.